Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome. Hi, Donna. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm in studio. I'm very good. Let me introduce you. For everyone who's listening out there, I am in studio with the devotional singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist, Donna DeLory. And we're going to explore today the power of voice, transformational power of voice. So, yeah, welcome, Donna.
It's great to be here up nice and early for me. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning. The sun is just kind of, the light is coming up, and it's been, we've had so much rain, so it's just so lush, and I'm just
so you're in California, is that correct? You're in California?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in Topanga Canyon, so in the mountains, mm-hmm. Santa Monica Mountains, and we just had, like, even more rain last night, you know, yesterday and last night, so I was walking up to my guest house this morning, and it's kind of up the hill and just breathing in all that beautiful air, and right. That's where I make my music, in that space.
So your guest house is also your studio?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and is it full of cables, or do you keep it pretty stripped down?
Yeah, there are, it's not too many cables. I try to tuck them under rugs, and when you walk in, there's like the desk with the computer, and then you see the big mic. The mic's kind of in the center of the room, and the piano. So it's kind of like
beautiful.
Inviting me to go in and sing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very beautiful. Yes, you are a singer, a songwriter. You're doing a lot of workshops. You're doing a lot of retreats. You have a new album release. Is that a daily practice that you do, is to walk up to your guest house and just put in a singing session?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, it's been so beautiful. You know, I've been working on my records, and there's always remixes. I'm always working on something, or I'm doing some cues for film, for mm-hmm. licensing, mm-hmm. Composing, or other people come to me and ask me to sing on their records, which what's really beautiful with modern technology is that they can just send me the Pro Tools session.
Right.
And then I get to do the vocals, and then I send them back to them. And you know, that's the way a lot of us work now, when we have this, like, musical family, and we kind of, like, we send the music over. Wasn't there was a movie, was it called One Giant Leap? Or I don't know, there was a film that was kind of made, that was the basis, where they went around and they took the recording, they'd take the song to Africa, and they'd have a singer put down their voice, and then they'd take it to mm-hmm. India, and they'd have another singer put down, and there was this massive collaboration with everyone layering their sound, and it just is a beautiful thing. So
it's phenomenal. We can also, we're able to record even simultaneously. There are softwares now that let us be in different cities at the same time while recording. Which, you know, you can have a session musician, I don't know, a guitarist in London and the singer in New York and somewhere in California. So the internet has really changed the way that we are able to create music together. So it's that global enlightening process, a global enlightenment. I think it's really there for us as artists to co-create.
Absolutely. You know, I love more than anything being in the room with musicians, with creative people. Like, I grew up in a musical family. My dad was a musician, so that's just just like where I'm from, and that's what just feeds me ultimately. But mm-hmm. I'm realizing now that, you know, maybe it is better sometimes to like stay home in your comfort, you know, in your place where you could be creative and then create that way with people, and that's okay as well.
Right.
And just tune into that vibration.
You just shared a little bit about it. You are from a very musical family, and I want to start digging a bit deeper into voice work to start in that place from your childhood. What is one of your strongest memories using your voice or singing when you were a child? Because you started to sing, as far as I know, pretty early. You were already doing recordings when you were 8 years old.
I was. I mean, I was like every kid, you know. I had my record collection. I'd go in my room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of those records I was playing were records my dad played on, like the Beach Boys, mm-hmm. Pet Sounds, you know, or, you know, my dad was with Capitol Records, and they had been distributing, I guess, the Beatles records. This is when I was really little, and I had an older sister who was mm-hmm. Into all this music as well. So I would sing along with the records, and I started early on singing harmonies. I started singing, like picking out harmonies and being able to sing them to records. And every time I would listen to the song, I could pick a different part to sing. You know, mm-hmm. so I knew mm-hmm. I had that ear. And then there were singers like, you know, Stevie Nicks or Linda Ronstadt, or, you know, female singers that I could sing in their range, and then I could sing their harmonies. And I knew early on, you know, I could say I knew I had a voice, I could sing a tune, I had a talent, but really it was, I knew it fulfilled me. I knew it was my passion. I knew that singing and what was maybe going on in my life with my parents split up, and, you know, that I had that I could, like, I could sing, and that sound could come out, and it was like, it was healing for me.
Right.
You know, and
right.
then dancing was that way as well for me. So I mm-hmm. had that expression early mm-hmm. on. That led me to, my dad was a producer, so he knew a man who hired singers mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. children. So I went, my dad took me to audition for this man in the Hollywood Hills, and I was really shy, so I had to sing for him, and he hired me on a commercial. And I started singing professionally when I was 8. So
right.
Began, you know, you take that, like, that just pure essence of just like my bliss and everything and mm-hmm. singing and music. Mm-hmm. And then I went into starting to get the approval for it. You know, I was like
right.
in the studio, all the adults were clapping, and I was like, oh, I'm doing good. I'm good. You know, this is something I can do. So there, you know, there was that journey where I was singing professionally, and then, you know, it was competitive too, because we had to like kind of compete for the solos and who's going to get the job. And so early on, I mean, I was in that aspect of the business, trying to
right.
be the best, and that certain kind of ambition that went along with
did
that.
Did it change the way that you approached music as a child? Did you only then go actually for that competitive route and try to hit the highest note and try to have the best harmonies, and or did you find yourself also able to take refuge in music and just curl up maybe with a good album? And
I definitely always did that, because mm-hmm. I had my, like a lot of kids then with our turntables, I had my right. my record collection, I had my favorites, and everything was about, I mean, it used to be, you know, just we just hear music on the radio and then we go out
right.
and get it. It's hard for like my kids to understand the way it worked then. And there was a lot less music, but there were albums like Carole King. I mean, there were artists
exactly.
that went
yeah.
so deep in me, and it became, like all of us, the soundtrack of our lives at that time.
Yeah,
and
because we only had those few albums, so we listened to them
right.
5,000 times, basically.
Yeah, over and over.
Carole King became part of our
player. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. And we would go into our room, and we would put on that record, and that was our healing. And we would mm-hmm. it was so experiential. Like, you would pick it up, you would turn it over, and you would put the needle down. It was like, it was so tangible, and mm-hmm. and also the whole experience of going out and getting it, and it was like such a part of your life that you would go and get music, and then you would go
and
to
it
a
was
concert.
It was very fragile also. The 45s and the LPs, that could get warped. You had to take very good care of them. They could break easily. It wasn't like 5,000 songs on, inside your telephone. They were very, if you forgot to put on the cover, they could get scratched. And
we had our record cases, right?
Right,
that were like kind of,
right.
Some of them were kind of psychedelic looking. And
right.
I still have my 45 case. I have that with all my old letters in it. You know, but I have such great memories of those records I listened to and how I just started dreaming about being a singer and doing that. And
right. And
then I would be in the studio with my dad and we'd be with musicians. And then as I got to be a teenager, like my dad started hiring me also as a singer on his sessions. And then my dad was a songwriter. So then he said, well, why don't you sing the demos? So I would start singing these songs, like, and I was like 13, 14, and I'm singing like, is the happiness worth the heartache? Is the trouble worth the pain? You know, these songs that my dad wrote that I had no idea about heartache at that time. But I just loved singing, you know. It was just, and my dad would say, you got to feel it. You got to, like, riff out on the end and everything. And I'm like, Dad, I'm 14. I don't know what I'm talking about here. But I somehow, like, was winging it. And then we moved to Nashville, and I had been living with my mom at the time. My mom got cancer, breast cancer, and a brain tumor passed. And then I went with my dad to Nashville, and we just, like, started over. And honestly, like, I left at my senior year of high school of kids that I had grown up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge change for me, but that was because I knew my life needed to be about music. And I was just like, my dad and I are going to Nashville, and we're going to the Music City. And just, I immersed myself in that scene with songwriters. And it was so magical at that time. There was this place called Music Row, and there were house after house that were owned by, like, music publishing companies, and the songwriters would just be hanging out that were signed to those houses. They would just be creating all day long. And I was, like, the new kid in town, so I got to be friends with them, and I would go from house to house and just hang out with them. And I'd listen
Did
to,
you?
You know, I was there when they wrote the song Wind Beneath My Wings.
Wow.
And
Bette
and
did
it was like
a great version.
Part of, part of music history there, and just really neat time. And that was like my senior year of high school.
No, I wanted to ask you because with the loss of your mom passing when you were only 16, did your voice change, or did your longings change? A lot of times when we experience grief, our voice shuts down. There's many people that have difficulty singing after that. Or was voice your saving, you know, the saving grace that led you through it all?
It, you know, it was, and it was also my strong connection with my dad. My dad and I, we just went into music, you know, and I, at the time, like, no, I wasn't at that place of being a songwriter where I could, like, I journaled, but there was so much grief. And I remember, like, after my mom passed, it was like a waterfall of tears that I couldn't shut off. It just, I didn't think I could ever stop that grief. And I think by going to Nashville, you know, what it did do in a really huge way, it shifted me into being, into, you know, conscious living. And I just shifted into, I wanted to be healthier, of course. I watched my mom pass pretty young. So I started going to vegetarian restaurants. I started hanging out with these people that were just open-minded and older, you know, these med students that were into conscious living that were giving me books like The Mustard Seed and Autobiography of a Yogi. And so at that same time of me doing music in Nashville and hanging out, believe it or not, with like Music Row, which is very country, it's very like, you know, Christian, and especially then it wasn't as diverse. And then at the same time, I would be hanging out with the college, you know, at Vanderbilt University, going to the foreign films and opening my mind, and not quite discovering world music, but I was getting more into like dance music and electronic music, and because I was a dancer as well. But I was going to, it was more of, I was going to the, you know, the health food stores, and I was just connecting with those, that community of people there.
And maybe, no, I was just going to say, my father, you know, he actually passed, I was 21, he died in a plane crash, and I remember after that saying, I'm only going to do what I love. I'm never, ever going to take a job because life is too short. Life is too precious. So did that thought come and just say, I'm going to do music, it doesn't matter, and dance. I'm going to dance into music. I'm never going to take a factory job or an office job. It doesn't matter if I'm starving and eating tofu and potatoes.
You know, that it was that, but at the same time, like, I got to get a job at a rock and roll hotel there. So I was, like, at the desk when, like, Elvis Costello came in, and, you know, I got to, like, do jobs kind of in the music business, and then I worked at a vegetarian restaurant that was on Music Row. So, yeah, I was like, I'm going to be with the people I love, and then there was the aspect of studying and growing as a singer and as an artist. I started playing guitar. I found a teacher. I decided I wasn't going to go to college, so I just wanted to, you know, get into – I always wanted to find, like, that master teacher I could learn from. And so at that point, though, I had been dancing and I had been acting, and it wasn't – there wasn't that much there for me in Nashville. So I would come back to L.A., and I would kind of be living in two places. And I found – that's when I found yoga in Los Angeles with a teacher named Rod Stryker, who's you know, it's a
and probably big. One of the beginning, I mean, the yoga scene, I don't know when you were in L.A. back then, but I mean, it's only in the last 15 years that yoga has really exploded. I mean, I think that you were leading the way. You were pioneer, pioneer
this
in L.A.
This is like 83, 84.
Right.
And once again, it was like I got into the, it was kind of like the Kundalini yoga scene. There was a restaurant called, I think it was called the Golden Temple. And I think by being in Nashville and connecting with that community there, I somehow in LA connected with the Macrobiotic Center, the yoga center.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. I was like 17, 18. And those were the people I felt, you know, just that community really comfortable with, and going to like talks on macrobiotics and, you know, things would come up and I'd go see, you know, a psychic or someone who would read my chart, and I was definitely on that more spiritual path. And then, you know, I started my journey, you know, of being in Hollywood and trying to make it in showbiz. And
hold that thought. That's a good thought to hold.
Yeah.
Making it in Hollywood. We're going to take a very short station break. I'm here with Donna DeLore talking about the transformational power of voice, sound consciousness, and her newest release. Be back in a couple of minutes.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds. and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We are back with the devotional singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Donna DeLory talking about the power of voice healing and her new album, Here in Heaven. And Donna, we just left off, or we just stopped with Hollywood. I would actually like to jump to another place that you dearly love and are talking a lot about on this next album. We will get to Hollywood, but I have a track lined up for our listeners. And Joseph Campbell said, the experience of eternity right here and now is the function of life, and heaven is not the place to have the experience. Here is the place to have the experience. And the lyrics on your track, Heaven, reflect, I believe, this quotation, that heaven is always present, right here, right now. Would you like to share a few words about heaven before we play it for our listening audience?
Yeah, that inspiration came to me years ago, because when I was living in another house by myself, and like every night when I was home, I didn't have plans, I would go to the video store when there were video stores, and I would rent I was constantly renting like Joseph Campbell videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was so into his lectures and everything, and a friend who was actually an actor a few years before had introduced me to Joseph Campbell, and it just blew my mind. So it was the Bill Moyers. I especially loved the conversations they were having, and I think it was like at Lucas Ranch, and it was a few months before Joseph Campbell passed. Mm-hmm. And he, in that moment, was saying to Bill Moyers this concept of heaven is right here, right now. And I think Bill at some point looked at him and said, you mean right here between us, like right in this space? And Joseph Campbell said yes. And if we don't, and he was just so, his lifetime of studies and experiences, and I mean, just so rich. And his, just his spirit, I could just feel it, you know, so deeply.
Right.
In that moment, I thought it resonates so deeply with me. I thought, that's how I feel. And there was that beautiful, you know, namaste, that recognition in that moment between them. And it just inspired me so much. I was like, that's how I feel. And I was working on a song at the time, and it was very simple. And it was just, heaven could be anywhere. Why not here? Kind of talking about, at first I was talking about like the relationship I was in with this person, and saying, you're out there, you walk the world, you open up the skies, dancing with the gods of another time. You're out there everywhere, but it's right here between us. It's right here when we're looking in each other's eyes. Everything, the whole universe is right here in this moment. And this sense of no time, timelessness. And so it came out of that inspiration, and I had kind of fun with the instrumentation, and kind of, it's definitely world music with all the percussion that I love. And I'm actually working on a video right now. I was up late last night at dance rehearsal, which we're going to shoot on Saturday, which is, I've had this vision for so long for this video, and it involves so much production, like dancers and choreographers and costumes, and it's like, it's kind of could be almost overwhelming. But it comes back to something that I was hearing about you talking about, giving people that, empowering them with the confidence of their voice. mm-hmm. and the confidence mm-hmm. of their vision and their dream. And this came from my voice going down on this, putting my voice down on this record and writing this song, but then wanting to visually express what it means to me and what I am so drawn to with the, you know, the art and the cultures and the colors and the dance and the Eastern, you know, it's kind of like inspired by Eastern cultures, and you'll see when you see the video, but I'm in the process of like pulling all these pieces together for this video, and I think it's going to be really powerful.
So the video is of the track Heaven. That is the.
That's going to be the video. It's a remix, so it's more dance. And
beautiful.
We've got these young dancers, because I love to work with young people. They're between the ages mm-hmm. of about 12 and maybe 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
So they're students. And we wanted to work with students for just, you know, it was beautiful. We went in and saw them dance, and they started improvising. And it was incredible. And the choreographer I'm working with was telling them what the song was about. They're like, this is about going within yourself and finding your own bliss, your own heaven right here in this moment. Mm-hmm. And we want you to, you know, show us that moment. Mm-hmm. And each mm-hmm. one of them got up and did this, and it was mind-blowing.
Mm.
And he also gave them the direction of, like, find a place of, like, your struggle, a suffering, and it's like the lotus flower coming up. And then you find, you come out of that and you rise up and you're finding your bliss and your joy. So he gave them that direction and they danced with that to the song. And I was just like, oh my God, this is the video, you know, with these
gorgeous
young women finding their power. And a lot of the idea of the, which Joseph Campbell talks about a lot, is the masculine and the feminine, the pairs of opposites, and blending mm-hmm. that, and how we have that, and incorporating that and balancing that within ourselves. So in this video will be like the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang. And anyway, you'll get to see it in a couple months. And I'm
beautiful.
Really
then
excited about it.
Yeah, and we look forward to that. And let's listen in to your track off of the newest album entitled, this track is entitled Heaven.
Reflections of a thousand mysteries. When I look in your eyes, I see divinity looking back at me. You and I,
We are here in studio with Donna DeLore. That was her track, Heaven on Earth as It Is in Heaven. Donna, we know that our voice is a channel and it can be used as a portal to experience the interdimensional. And I was wondering if you personally have a songwriting or singing practice that you use as a tool to deepen the connection to your ancestors and your beloveds that might be on the other side.
Oh, absolutely. I do. And, you know, I have, I mean, I you know, the first song I ever wrote was actually about my mom. And it was a way of connecting with her. And, you know, my mom had dreams of being a singer and a dancer. And she kind of, you know, and as a young woman, her mom had moved her to Hollywood. And she went to Hollywood High and was trying to, like, be in showbiz and everything. When she met my dad, that was like in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So times were different then. She ended up kind of giving that up and being a mom. But the first song was that deep, just trying to connect with my mom and saying, acknowledging her and her pain and saying, I'm dancing on the world for you and I'll be there for you. There was this deep sense of me, the gratitude and purpose of my life, carrying forward, you know, and being there, this sense of being there for what, for my mom's dreams as well and what she couldn't do.
Right.
And even when I went out and I was touring with Madonna and I'm on stage and we're doing these numbers, there were certain points where I would, and it maybe it was reminiscent, those moves and the style of music of my mom's day. You know, I would always think of her, and here I am carrying this dream and she's inside of me. And isn't this just so beautiful and complete? But the first song was written about her. I mean, just music is just so deep in me, and get, you know, something I shared with my father, that connection. So the practice of whether I go in my studio and I play, sit down and play the piano or the harmonium, or I go and sing, I would still be doing this if I wasn't making a living and I didn't. It's a practice for me, and I try to encourage other people, whether it's just a drum, just get a drum and hit it like a heartbeat, boom, 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 and just try to just get some vibration going and try to sing over that, or just what comes out after that. You know, some people need something to kind of lead them to that space, or other people can just use their voice. Or maybe it's a shaker or a bell or a bowl. It's kind of like start with something. The sound vibration will pull you in. And to me, it's like you go to this whole other realm. And when I'm making music, I truly feel like I'm just in this other space. And
yes, transcending and space and time, right?
And things are just, you're pulling things right out of the air. And it's like you realize, wow, that's where creation is, that's where inspiration is. It's always right there. You can just reach out and grab it, you know.
Very magical.
Anyone.
Right.
Yeah. And you could be outside and hear the birds singing, and you could om or hum or use your voice in some way, you know. And I've even used my voice when I'm walking around on a walk and there'll be deer there hanging out near me, and I start singing, and they just stay there. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Or the you know, bird calls, or when a cat comes close and you try to imitate their voice, and then they even come closer. You know that you're on point if the cat doesn't run away. Yeah, or the birds they stay and sing with you. You know that you've hit the target, basically, that they understand. There's a resonance that happens, right? Exactly.
Right, and really what I find is that it's that connection. It's that yoga of singing for me, and music is connecting me back to source. And if I'm outside, or even not outside, if I'm doing my music and I walk outside, it's like all of a sudden I can hear everything. My senses are more alive. My awareness is greater. And I noticed that if I would take a yoga class and sing at the end for Shavasana, And I started doing this. This is how I kind of got into doing music for yoga. I had friends that were
beautiful.
Really beautiful. So check that out.
Fabulous. Okay, here we go.
Listen to the voice of your heart.
just listen.
This track, Listen, off of her newest album, Here in Heaven. And Donna, that's spectacular. And I can really sense that this album is just filled with your vision and your passion and your making it happen. You were the top of the pops, and you have done many sessions and can be heard on recordings with Bette Midler, Leonard Cohen, Belinda Carlisle, Carly Simon. I mean, these are the greatest. Now, Selena, and of course, 20 years you travel with Madonna and were her dancer and background singer, etc. And yet you yourself said that something was missing, that your soul wasn't being fed. When I listen to this track, I feel that your soul is totally fed, that you're actually in overflow. So can you now name that thing? Can you put a name on it? What was missing for you before and what you have now found for yourself?
Well, at that time, I mean, there's a lot of things involved. Like when you're working for another artist and you're making a good living and you're, you know, there's certain parts of me as a performer, as a singer, to be able to have a job singing. Like that was like my day job, you know, and I loved that. But the music, how much the potential of me connecting with music, that wasn't my music, you know, and I connected with Madonna's music in a big way, you know, in the rhythmic aspects of it. And her songs and everything, but I needed to kind of find my own voice. And she really was a teacher for me to tell me that I need to find my own path and whatever that is. And I began, you know, making a mantra CD, which was in 2004, The Lover and the Beloved. Mm-hmm. But before that, I didn't. Anyway, I have a long story about doing a big pop record with a major company. And then I did my first indie record in around 2000, and that was amazing. And I started going more devotional on that. So it was kind of, that was kind of the bridge between the pop world and the devotional world. And I didn't even know I was going in that direction. I was just following my heart and writing my own songs and starting to use instruments like cello and harmonium and more percussion. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that voice anymore, like you have to have a pop hit, you know, that I had from my record company. Just started making the sounds that I loved, the tablas, you know. And then it led me to doing a record of mantras, mainly mantras. I blended in English as well. And at that time, it just was like this explosion at that time of yoga in our country and around the world, I'm sure. So that opened a door to a whole new world for me. And I just kept walking. So singing the mantras, but I'm also a songwriter. So there's these deep human relationship experiences that I want to write about, but I also want to incorporate the mantras because that's the practice of finding that balance and that stillness that I want to put into there because that's my life. So that's why there's a lot of mantra and English blended in my songs.
Well, that is a reflection exactly of your practice, of your path as a singer. So where can people find out more about your upcoming concerts and your album releases? Maybe you're doing workshops and retreats. Do you have a homepage?
There's going to be a lot more coming up over the summer and fall. DonnaDelore.com is probably the best place. And then if you don't want to go there, of course there's Facebook and there's also Instagram. I'm having fun with Instagram now. Really
playful.
Seeing it's playful and a quick, you know, just go on there and see a quick quote by Thich Nhat Hanh, who I love so much, or Rumi, you know, a quick reminder and inspiration. I love it.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. So, and I really appreciate your support. I love having these conversations. I know we could talk for hours about this stuff.
We could talk for hours all day. Tell me what your message is for our world. If you have one message or a little golden nugget about the voice path, about sound healing, vibrational frequency, staying true to our heart, what would that be?
Well,
what can people integrate?
I feel that music is such a tool for us to open our hearts, to listen to one another, mm-hmm. to find peace. It's such a beautiful tool for transformation, and it's right there for us. You know, and I wish we could, you know, every big, you know, these big summits and meetings of all the world leaders could start out with this kind of like an invocation and music. And
yeah.
wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, and some sound healing. Get everyone on the same frequency. So it's a tool that we could use in a big way, but also we could just use it for our own practice. And that's my tool, so I can share that. And it's also, I think it's really important to really listen to music that is made with intention for uplifting mm-hmm. and being positive, and you listening to people that inspire you, that bring out the best in you, in more of your higher self. Because it's really easy to go to the negativity. It's easy, you know. It's all around us. We listen to the news, and you just get pulled in. Oh, I knew it. He's a liar. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then we have to look at
we are able to absorb sound, right? We're able to absorb sound. That's why it's so important to put ourselves in an ocean, a sea of sound, which is uplifting and empowering. And like you said, the voice.
There's so many beautiful artists.
Yeah.
Right,
and the voice is with us 24/7, right? So 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, we can always hum, whistle, sing, keep ourselves in tune, in balance.
We could we could do simple, you know, a hum, pray ma. I mean, whatever the mantra is that resonates for you.
Beautiful. Donna, it was a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you for being in studio with me. I wish you lots of success, and I hope to have you back again sometime to deepen our conversation on voice and sound healing.
Okay. Thank you for getting me up early. Beautiful conversation. Thanks for your support.
Transatlantic moments. All right. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Namaste.